We've scheduled a special general meeting now for this vote, and that will be on Sunday the 16th of February in 4 weeks' time, and it'll be 12 p.m. right here, a special general meeting. That special general meeting will be voting on this motion: that St. James Menangle join with the parish of Campbelltown, also known as Campbelltown Anglican Churches, under a Schedule 2 arrangement as detailed in the Parish Administration Ordinance 2008, with the intention of operating the partnership as documented in the Menangle and Campbelltown Parishes 2025 Memorandum of Understanding, MOU. I believe most of you probably got one of these on the way in. I think we ran out, but there are more right there if you'd like one of them for yourself. So I've got those copies there, and that MOU really, what that does is it shapes what our new parish looks like, how we function, what we aim to do together. We'll have a final version of that MOU before that special general meeting. Now, how the vote will work is, as with all special general meetings, it will be by secret ballot. So Jim Douglas, he'll come over and he'll chair the meeting, and we'll have scrutineers for that as well. Now, a person can participate and vote in these meetings if they can subscribe to this declaration: I am a member of the Anglican Church of Australia. I have been baptised. I am not less than 18 years of age. I have usually, during 3 months, within the past 12 months, attended services of public worship at St. James Menangle or as part of an associated congregation of that church, which we don't have. I do not claim to be a parishioner of any other church or parish of the Anglican Church of Australia. Now, following that vote, if we decide as a church, yes, we do want to merge with Campbelltown, well, there'll be a process after that. Campbelltown themselves will need to vote themselves, and I imagine they will do it in those kind of weeks as well, or at their own AGM. After that, if they decide they want to do this with us as well, it'll go to the Southwestern Regional Council, and they'll need to approve it as well. And even after then, you can imagine that transition will take a bit of time, and our proposal particularly affects our 10 a.m. church, doesn't it? And so our 10 a.m. church will operate as normal, but we will also want to be preparing for that church plant that we're hoping to launch later in the year to raise up that launch team so it's ready to go as soon as possible. And we would hope that we could launch that church plant at Broughton Anglican College later in the year. Now, if we vote no, we'll still need to figure out a plan B, because we still need to make plans to grow. And to be very upfront, I don't know how that would work. And that's why I think this proposal is so something that we need to think hard about. It's a hard proposal to take for us, but without outside help, I really can't see what the way ahead is for long-term growth for our church. Let me just take a moment to share what's been on my heart, because as we've been discussing these hard things, it's been really hard for our church, hasn't it? It's been hard for you, it's been hard for me. We've spent a lot of time and effort since September. We've talked about it. There's been lots of conflict, hasn't there? Our focus has been on this. There's been lots of tears. And I want to say, I've heard what you've said. Thank you for sharing with me what you're feeling. I hear that these big changes to church are really disturbing to you, and especially when we see our whole area being changed, it's all really, really disturbing, isn't it? And thinking about the prospect of losing our parish status, especially when we've just come out of Camden Parish 20 or so years ago, that must feel like it's taking a few steps backwards. It must feel so disappointing. And Campbelltown and Jason, they're across the river. They feel so unknown, and they're not even in the Wollondilly Shire. And of course, the prospect of not having a 10 a.m. service, with kids running up and down the hill. That is genuinely very, very sad. And of course, just talking about church planting is probably what none of us have signed up for. We didn't think we would move to St. James Menangle to start a church plant, especially in a school environment. That has built a lot of anxiety among us, hasn't it? And as we've talked about this proposal, I imagine many of you have been thinking, this feels really, really drastic. But the thing is, what God is doing in this area is drastic. We're not talking about a few families and a few houses being built in our neighborhood. We are experiencing right now the greatest change in this area since the arrival of the First Fleet. We are talking about one of the fastest growing areas in Sydney, where tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people are moving in. Some of them are Christians, and they're going to need a new church family. Most of them, though, are non-believers who are not prepared to meet their God. The question now is, what do we do with what God's given us? What do we do with what God has entrusted to us right now? Now, Chris already spoke to the fact that this isn't a new discussion. It's been ongoing for some time. Previous ministers, previous parish councils have talked about this, have prayed about this, how to get us ready for the masses of people arriving on our doorstep. Because whether we're excited or we're threatened by these changes, our region is changing. Now, we can choose to see it as a threat or an opportunity, and most naturally, we will see it as a threat, won't we? When there's change, it shakes up what we feel comfortable about. And if we see it as a threat, naturally, we'll be tempted to bunker down. We'll be tempted to protect what we have and save St. James Menangle. But if we can see what an opportunity God is giving us right now to make a massive difference to the lives of people who are moving here, to be a blessing to them, to build the kingdom here in Menangle, well, that's why I want us to seriously consider this hard thing for the gospel, because it is really, really hard to think about. Because prayerfully, with careful consideration, and with lots of godly counsel and advice from experts within our diocese, this is the option that God has presented to us at this point. We can't just dismiss this option. It's not the option many of us would have wanted. You know, we probably would have wanted $7 million to just drop in our laps, or for God to level this hill so we can build something easily on it. But this option is the first viable option after years of discussion, years of investigation, years of prayer. It's not what we might personally want. I'm very, very well aware of that. But I think we can choose to do things that aren't naturally our preference because of the gospel. Let me quickly share with you a verse that drove me into ministry and which still drives me today. This is from 2 Corinthians 5:14-15. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should not live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. This is one of my favorite verses. It tells of how Jesus' sacrifice drives us to sacrifice. And voting yes will mean sacrifice. It has a lot of cost for us. Willingly sacrificing our parish status earlier than we need to is sacrifice. It will mean sacrificing our preference for small village church. And we love small village church. I think no one hates small church. Everyone loves small church. That's the kind of church that most people want to be part of. But it will mean sacrificing our preference for small village church. It will mean sacrificing our independence as St. James Menangle to buy ourselves decide how ministry looks here. But I think that's what God's people can do. When we are absolutely overwhelmed, convicted by the gospel. Because when we believe that Jesus died for us, we can do big things for him too. We can do hard things. We get to do hard things for him and sacrifice all for him. Now, if we're not willing to even consider giving up our parish because we want to remain a small village church, I think we are, in fact, saying to everyone who is moving in, you are not welcome.
Exactly what I'm saying.
Now, no one here would ever say they don't want people to become Christians. But if we do not grow and have the capacity to grow, we will effectively be telling them, we have no room for you here. God has no room for you here. If we're only worried about St. James Menangle surviving, I think our expectations of God is too low. Now, wouldn't it be sad if in 10 years' time, with 100,000 people in the area, that only 100 or 200 people are worshipping Jesus here? Doesn't Jesus deserve to have not hundreds but thousands of people serving him, loving him here every Sunday, whether here or at another site, around the region of Menangle? And not just here in this age, but in eternity, they know the Lord Jesus because we were willing to sacrifice what we love so that they can get to know the God who loves them desperately. I believe this is what we're actually voting on. So I'd love to take some questions at this point, either for Chris or for myself. Thank you, Peter, for being here as well. We do have a microphone to hand around. Ben, could you... So if you, the question was, what does a parish council consist of?
What will it?
Yep. So that's, if someone can tell me what page it is on the MOU, that would be helpful. Page 3.
Thank you.
Yep. Proposed structure, point 2, St. James Menangle joins with the parish of Campbelltown in a Schedule 2 partnership, ensuring there is no competition between the various arms of the parish, but they work together as one, with one pool of finances, combined property resources, and one parish council.
Point 6,
thank you. Point 6, initially Campbelltown Anglican Churches includes at least 2 St. James Menangle members on the parish council who function with a delegated authority to manage the St. James site. As the parish grows, God willing, the parish will continue its policy of fair representation for all the congregations of the parish. As an example, St. Andrew's Eds currently has 2 representatives for its 9:30 a.m. congregation on the parish council.
Yeah, okay. I think Arthur had a question.
Thank you. With the slides, can you just back up to the what you've got to being able to vote?
Yes. There we go.
I'm a member of Anglican Churches of Australia. There are certainly, I know one family, mine, or Julie and I, we are not members of the Anglican Churches of Australia. We're fairly new to coming to an Anglican church. That precludes us from voting. Is there going to be some provision where people like us that have been attending here for more than 6 months to be actually get their say on this?
I think Peter knows the finer details of the ordinance, but Arthur and Julie, they've been coming here for a while, and they're baptised and they would be members of the Anglican Church of Australia in that definition, right?
The membership is not a formal thing which you have to fill in a form or anything like that. In fact, the rest of the slide explains what we consider to be a member. So if you've been coming here and so forth, then you are considered a member of the Anglican Church.
Okay, thank you.
Just in regards to the future growth, which we all are pretty aware of, I've been reading a little bit in the Anglican Church strategy for growth, and only skimming across it. I guess they talked about amalgamating with the Rose Meadow Parish as an option going forward. So that would then position, not so much amalgamating, but looking at as a strategy between Menangle, the parish of Menangle, the parish of Rose Meadow, which would include Mount Gilead and Appin, which I think in a way would position our church to be heavily involved in church planting further south, which would then make us a church, particularly as a standalone parish, in a good position to really look at planting further southwards. And I just wondered, I guess, does Rose Meadow come under the Campbelltown Parish? Because I'm really not too sure about that.
No.
No. And so then I just wondered, if we come under Campbelltown, does that take away a standalone parish to strategise further south, where really, yes, we're going to see growth. We'll see growth here proportional to the village, but the greatest growth is actually going to be around Appin. It's going to be exponential. Mount Gilead's already seeing it. And between, say, Campbelltown and Appin, and then further south down to Wilton, that's where the major growth is going to go. So is that going to then take us away from, if we're sort of joined with Campbelltown, aren't we better off sort of strategising, I guess, with the Rose Meadow Parish? So I don't have an answer for that, but I think what I'd like to know a little bit more about is when you're talking about growth, we're sort of moving back towards Campbelltown when really our focus probably should be in the long term looking further south. And then I guess once we're part of Campbelltown, we're removed from that. And it removes, I guess, as a strategic point for Rose Meadow and support for them as they're going to experience major growth as well. So they're the sort of things I'm just sort of been thinking about, not to ignore the fact that growth is going to happen, certainly not to feel that we're not meeting our obligations as a parish to support the Broughton growth. I think that is important. But maybe another option could be that Campbelltown does look after Broughton, and then that we're tasked with possibly looking further south and the long-term management of that and strategy of that and planning and working with council. And yes, we are a small parish church, and I understand that, but we're actually taking away a parish, a separate parish, when in one sense you kind of need separate parishes, particularly when you look at what's happening southwards. So I suppose it's more of a comment, but my main question was, I'm assuming Campbelltown doesn't include Rose Meadow, so how does that leave Rose Meadow, and in terms of having support for them?
Hmm.
Because Appin's quite small, I'd say we're probably more substantial than Appin. And how does that leave with the strategy looking further south, where a lot of the long-term growth, it's certainly been in the pipeline for over 30 years. That's not new, really. So my question is, that how does that account for that there?
Mm.
And can we look at considering that as a possible option where we are being part of the bigger long-term growth. Whereas if we go to Broughton, we're probably just going to be looking at that. But I think this church is in a good position to strategise further south, I suppose. So how does that leave Rosemeadow if they're separate?
Yeah, perhaps this was helpful for Peter to speak into that, because you had some say into the southwestern regional growth plan, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a good point in terms of where the population centres will be in this particular area of the southwest of Sydney. Actually, just at the end of last year, in November and December, we had some fairly significant meetings with the main developers of the Appin and Gilead areas. And in terms of so what we're also trying to do is, how does our church strategy fit in with where the developments are happening, where the transportation corridors are, where the schools will go in, both public schools and private schools, and the timeline at which those things will happen. The corridor from Rosemeadow down to Appin will probably be another 100 or 120,000, maybe 150,000 people. And so we have actually opportunity there where, because we don't have any land, we've only got a very tiny, like the Appin Church is actually smaller than this. I don't know if you've been to the Appin Church. It's about half the size of this building. And it's low-lying, it's flood risk, everything. And then there's a very small hall, probably about double the size of the stables, but still tiny. But we actually have opportunity for land purchase, both in Gilead and in Appin. We've got to raise probably $20 million to do so, but there is opportunity for that, which means that we can build a 500-seat church with rooms for a hall and children's space and something, you know, that kind of thing. And so we don't know whether that kind of plan will come to fruition, but that is the plan, because we're talking like 100 to 150,000 people just over there. The difference with Menangle is that the school at Broughton is a parish school of Campbelltown. And so that's why there is the thinking that it makes most sense to join Menangle with Campbelltown and then just leave Rosemeadow as independent, because if we can possibly, we will build two more churches in that area. And we'll probably split them off into separate parishes anyway once they begin to grow and so forth. So Rosemeadow, Gilead, Appin. Like I said, that's a $20 million project. We don't know whether we can raise $20 million or not. But at the moment, the way that this area and the Rosemeadow to Appin area are developing, that seems to make, in terms of ministry, that seems to make the most sense. When we, in the discussions about joining Menangle with Campbelltown, the view is not that, you know, you just worry about everything between here and Campbelltown. We still, the aim of expanding the capabilities and the facilities for ministry here are to reach the people that are around here and the growth that is happening around here, but doing it with the benefits that are reaped from being in partnership with Campbelltown. The fact is that we could probably use six churches between this area and the Rosemeadow to Appin growth corridor, but it's $10 to $12 million a pop, which we just don't have. And so where we can make most efficient, impactful use of the resources that we have, and that's actually what we're trying to do. So we're doing that with the churches. We are actually working in conjunction with the schools and with Anglican Retirement Villages as well, as the developers to do something which means that where you've got pockets of between 30 to 50,000 people, there is an Anglican church where people can come and hear the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's how we've been working on. And these things are changing all the time too, because the rate at which developers do their thing, the rate at which the government will put in infrastructure, almost changes from year. The broad plans are there, the master plan of the state government is there, but the timing in which it occurs depends on where developers are at, where the state government's at with infrastructure and so forth. And 2 years ago, Appen was probably 10 years off, but things have gone well for the developer. They're saying, no, we want to start turning the soil next year. So if we don't get in now, then we won't, and so forth. So that's how we've been thinking about it.
Mm-hmm. Thanks. Other questions, comments? Yeah. Arthur's got the microphone, and then Alicia. Thanks. Yeah, so Alicia's asking about the capacity of Broughton Anglican College. There are multiple halls within Broughton, but their main hall can seat 800 people. It's probably not something that, as Jason and I have talked about, not probably something that we want to fill before. Actually, we're kind of expecting 5 years of a church plant, given how church plants usually go in Sydney. We would be several hundred in 5 or so years, and we'd be thinking about a next church plant after that. So it can fit 800, which would be great for big events, but I personally don't imagine that a church would be that big before we make decisions to continue planting. Arthur?
Okay, I'm going to go out on a limb here. Your speech earlier was very emotional, and it showed how invested you are in this. But a lot of the words in there, if you replaced replaced yes with no in the vote, a lot of it still applies. But what it does mean that, yes, if a no vote will still require change. Change has been forced on this church because of the development that's happening now. Mm. I think it's about 250 houses already, close to 1,000 houses in the Mervac Estates alone, and that's before any other land is developed.
Yeah.
What it will require, as Chris was saying, is people to actually roll up their sleeves and get stuck in. And put in a lot of effort to start to bridge some of these gaps, to start to reach people, etc. So don't think a no vote means no change. A no vote will still mean change, but personally I think it's probably a better change than with Campbelltown, because it would still make this church, this building, the focus. But yeah, don't expect a no vote to be no change. Mm. There will have to be change, even with a no vote.
Yeah, thank you, Arthur. Yeah. We need to change either way to grow. What that looks like is up to us. Yes, Bev. I mean, it's been something I've been thinking about, and I don't have any clarity on that at the moment. I'm not sure. As I've said, I feel very stuck in terms of planning ahead. If it was no, and we were operating by ourselves, there are certainly things we can do that we've already explored. We could hold another service straight away. We could try to utilize those two buildings, though
inadequate as they are for our church, we could possibly use them for itinerant kids club kind of things. One of the things that we've been wanting to do is reach the Douglas Park School. We're teaching scripture already in there. How do we help those kids, who some of them are telling me they want to know Jesus, get into a church? And particularly, how do we help them move here? And so might think about things like that. But in terms of anything bigger than that, to be very honest, I'm lost. I don't know what the way forward is there. And I don't feel like God has presented a way at this point for the way forward. He might. Yeah. Thank you, Bev.
Just further on that, AIDS had the, at St Andrew's AIDS, they had issues staffing kids' activities of Sunday morning, and wasn't a big congregation, and a number of people were being involved in that. As they are now under Campbelltown, youth from Campbelltown are coming up and doing the Sunday morning kids program, and those members are going back into the service. They weren't getting a service there. It gives us that ability for those resources. We saw how many people turned up for the trial run of a kids club. Mm. We'd need half a dozen people every Friday down there to run a kids club. Haven't seen a lot of hands go up. But if we could use resources from Campbelltown with the youth group coming and helping to run that, then, you know, we've got access to those resources. We don't have those resources ourselves.
Rosemary? Ben, over there.
I'm a little concerned about the start of the service here, if there's just going to be the one service, not for ourselves, but for older people trying to get here at 8 o'clock. Even 8:30 is quite difficult. Mm. So I just wanted to bring that to your attention.
Thank you.
Like, we'll be in that situation as well. Yeah. And possibly people coming from Douglas Park, you know, 8:30 is a bit difficult for them.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, and there are multiple issues surrounding that. Particularly, one issue we'll face straight away is, imagine some 10 a.m. people might want to be part of that church plant, but some of you might not want to, and our 8:30 will be instantly full already. What do we do then? That's another problem there. Yeah. Thank you, Rosemary.
I'll just a small comment. That if the 10 o'clock service does happen at Broughton, there won't be any age limit to that service. That if 10 o'clock time slot would work better for some people, we would love for the 10 a.m. to be an intergenerational church. That, yes, there's lots of young families moving into the area, but what a lot of young families need is the wisdom from those who maybe have kids that have now moved out of home who can offer wisdom.
Mm. Yeah, I don't imagine the church plant to be just a young family thing. That would be wrong for a church, really. I want that church to benefit from the wisdom of those who have been Christians for decades and decades and have younger people. A healthy church is one that is intergenerational. We need everyone involved in that. That's how a healthy church grows. That's right. Yeah. That's one thing, a cost we have to seriously count, that
we are saying that there would be no 10 a.m. service here. We're saying that there would be no children here because no children's program will be running from here. And we've got to be asking the question, is that worth it? Because the alternative at the moment is we can fit maybe 20 kids in the kids shed, which is a modified, well, not sorry, not 20 then, okay, 15, 20, 10? 10, 15, 15 max. Yeah. And we want to build ministries that kids really love to turn up to and learn about Jesus and are set up for a lifetime of loving Jesus, right? And we want to give them best possibility to minister to them and serve them and love them. Right now, what we do have is a kid shed. We do have that lower room. But the thing is, actually, what has been making it unable for us to move into that lower room to split the class is that we haven't had enough leaders. So at this point, it's not even a space problem yet. We could maybe fit another 10 down there. But then again, we still need the leaders.
That's what I was saying earlier.
Yep.
People need change. People need to roll their sleeves up and get stuck in.
That's right.
People include extra children's leaders.
Yep. 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 And I'm thankful to some of you who have put up your hand and said, actually, I do want to be trained and do this. And very thankful for you. And at the same time, we need to think, what will be the capacity of that greater change, that little change be? Will it be enough? Will it be enough for us to use a kid's shed in the lower room and have 30 kids there and not be able to grow past that? And that's the issue I'm dealing with. What do you do after that? And at the moment, I don't see those options. Yes, Scott?
Can I make a statement as a parent?
Sure.
If there is a lack of youth and a lack of what I can do with my children here, let's be honest, if there's a no vote, there's no future here for us. Like, that's the honesty. There's nowhere for the young families. I'm about to have teenagers. Ez is about to have teenagers. There's nothing for the teens at all. Even if, yeah, okay, we'll try and put something forward for the teens right now. There is not enough people to run it, let alone the space. Yeah.
Just two things quickly. One is that when we had the team of students here who helped us out with the kids' club and the Carols on the Hill and the Durham Green Service and stuff like that, I had a chance to go with one of them visiting into Menangle Park. And it just felt to me as though, you know, that really is a mission field that's open right now for us to visit and get to know, and we need to have something that we can invite them to. Not many of them could come to our church as it is. Seriously, could they? Not many. Mm. It was interesting getting people's reactions, and many of them were quite positive towards having some contact with our church.
Mm.
But one of the things that's worried me most is how Ez would cope with two different locations. So I just thought you might be able to explain that a little bit. How would it actually work? Because I think it's lovely that we're not being asked to close this church if I choose to keep coming here. It's there. It's lovely. Love the place. But if I want to be involved with the church plant and still be part of St. James, I can. So would you just explain a little bit how that would actually work for you, if you understand?
Yes, yeah, thank you. Thank you, Ray. Yeah, from the beginning we were talking about, Jason and I, about how it might work, because you can't just double my sphere of ministry. I can't just be suddenly thinking of St. James Menangle and Broughton as if I could just double my week somehow. And so one part of that is having a team, not just a bigger team, having a team. Ben and Em are part of the team right now, but having a team of other full-time staff who are ministers of the word, who preach the word, means that you can actually serve each congregation with more people. So how that might work out is, I think I would, as we've kind of talked about, 8:30 St. James Menangle, I will be here. Broughton, 50% of the time, I'd be preaching, but I wouldn't be doing the whole load that I do usually here. That would mean that I am freed up to do more recruiting, training, equipping, evangelizing. And that's what really it frees me up from, particularly rector duties. It helps me to better do on-the-ground ministry at Broughton and here. One of the things I've mourned most about being here is I haven't been able to spend as much time with people as I've wanted. And that's the kind of thing I'm really looking forward to getting stuck into, meeting not just new residents, but getting to know our church better. So I think that's how we would end up splitting. We would have a second assistant seconding me. I'll be the church plant leader, but there will be someone else with me as well as Jason, particularly at the start, to get that going, to make sure that has the best chance of growing from the start. So I think practically that's how it might work out. Yeah. Thanks, Ray.
Just so that you know, it's not theoretical. When I was in parish in Fairfield Bosley Park, the Fairfield Bosley Park sites are actually a 15-minute drive away from each other. So I think here to the school is, 7 minutes? So that was a 15-minute drive, and I was actually at both services every Sunday at Fairfield and Bosley Park, and then go back to Fairfield at night for Fairfield night. So it is possible, but the other thing to remember is not just about the Sundays. Ezzy's not saying that if you join with Campbelltown, all the weekly ministries that are going on here cease. Not saying that at all. I would hope that there'd be still some things going on around the site here during the week. Mm. And maybe with the ability to increase things that are going on around the site, because there's a bigger staff team to be doing things. This site here in Menangle is not just going to be one service on a Sunday just because you join with Campbelltown. In fact, I would, like I just said, I hope that would increase capacity for doing things around the week as well. But in terms of the practicalities of the Sunday itself, yes, it can be done.
Yeah, also in terms of the how it looks in the MOU, under proposed structure, page 4, point 9, my name is Esmond, by the way. It's weird to see it. But Esmond's duties will include pastoring the Broughton church plant, the St. James Menangle early morning service, attending the regular weekly staff team meetings of the parish, and meeting individually with the rector of the parish on a regular basis every 2 to 3 weeks. Esmond will also have Menangle Park, Douglas Park, as his focus area for mission activity. And so one of our fears is that being part of Canva Town means that our focus has all gone upwards. Actually, that enables us, in my mind, to focus on our patch that we already have. Our parish consists of Menangle Park, Menangle and Douglas Park, and that will continue to be my focus.
Well, underneath that then, who actually heads up this congregation? If there's an amalgamation, who heads up? Where does the buck stop, you or with Jason Veach?
Yeah, so in terms of the structure of the church, he's the rector, he's a senior minister, so he is responsible for all ministry in Campbelltown Anglican churches. But at the same time, he delegates that responsibility to his ministers and to other staff, and so I would be the primary leader here. Yeah, that would be correct. That's why it's been such a long process of getting to know him first, to see, is he the kind of guy that I would willingly submit to and know that he's a gospel man and has has the gospel at his heart, and not just Campbelltown, but gospel all around the world, including Menangle. And that's how the structure would work, that I would be the primary leader here. But in the end, he is responsible for all ministry in his parish. Rosemary?
The state schools,
as in Douglas Park.
Yes.
Oh yeah, yes.
And I don't know what they do in Campbelltown, but
yeah. Yeah, it also means
focus on the.
Yeah.
Don't get me started.
Yeah, yeah, yes, yes. No, we love Douglas Park Public. We have 7 teachers in there, and those kids need to know Jesus.
I think my concern, if we voted no, that and if Peter Lynn decided to appoint as our minister, because he hasn't been appointed yet, that means we'll become fully independent and we will no longer have any of the great help from the Northern Church in regard to church ministrations and so forth. I think my main concern is that obviously I don't want Ez to burn out, and you can't wear all the hats. And that who in our congregation is going to help out in church ministry? Who's going to help out in men's ministry? Who's going to help out in women's ministry? Who's going to help out in youth group? You know, I can't see it happening. And I know that when we were on parish council, we tried to advertise to get people to come in for church admin as a paid person, and we couldn't get no one to come in to do church administration for our church. Well, Beth's not here. She's moved on. But I'm just saying there's a lot of hands to go up to do a lot of work. And I think that it'd be very, very hard, you know, for us to get a lot of volunteers to do these works.
I do understand what you're saying in terms of helps, that's important, but people are here, and I totally agree with Arthur that if there is a no vote, yeah, the positive out of all of this is that is it a church problem or is it a management problem? So I guess one of the things that we could look at is how this church is managed and revisit the whole way that the church is being run. So if there is a no vote... people will put their hand up, but also by nature of attrition, church plants grow because of the people that come. So if we put our hands to the wheel and start, getting on with the job, and we get newcomers coming in, then of course those newcomers will also want to help and take up time in the rosters. So I think we're sort of, whilst I understand where you're coming from is, I guess we haven't had a chance to really look at how it's being managed now and what can we do as a parish on our own to look at filling in the gaps as best we can, but then seeing the growth and encouraging the new people to also, because that's how churches grow anyway. You're not going to have magically enough staff to run the numbers that you're talking about to run youth magically over at Broughton, unless they're all coming from Campbelltown, because I don't see how that happens. essentially I can see that Campbelltown, with the church plan at Broughton, mostly your staff are going to come from Campbelltown, except for Es and Winnie, and if our staff are used for that as well. But when there is church growth, the whole idea is to get lay people doing and helping out as well, because that's where there's growth in within them as they start to get in and teach the children. It's you know, it is part of the church membership to do that. That's how I know things have changed, and we might sound like we're old or in the old times, but maybe we just need to get our really what it is a bit of time to get our heads around it and start looking at that rather than straight away having to look at it at amalgamating and changing the whole setup before we've really had a chance to sit down as a parish and work out a way forward. And I do understand what you're saying, Chris, that you know, you've looked at all these options, but we haven't. We haven't known that these options were on the table. The parish hasn't had a chance to do that, and that's where it's a little bit disheartening to hear. I know it's hard to fill rosters. I know my availabilities are up and down with the singing every week. I'll freely admit that. But I think in terms of managing this church as we are, we haven't really had a chance to revisit the whole way we're doing things to accommodate and then go for growth. So it's just more of a comment than anything. I'm getting a little bit frustrated because it's sounding like the people aren't offering to do things, whereas I think we need to look at it from a management point of view because things are being thrown out there, but we've also had to labour with this amalgamation issue as well. So then that makes it very difficult. How do you get enthused? You're battling quite a number of things on a number of fronts for the last however long since September. Yeah, so anyway, it's more of a comment than anything. But I'm a little bit frustrated by that. Because this church did have a full functioning youth, right? We had a Friday night youth. We do have facilities down there. If it's a staffing issue, I think we can give it a crack to get people, you know, people to have a crack and help out with the youth down there in that hall. I think it's actually more than adequate. Well, that's just my feeling. We're just not getting that opportunity before we have to make a decision.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks. Thanks. Yeah, Chris? Oh, sorry. Who was...
We haven't been able to keep anyone over the age of 13 for about the last 10 years. They've all gone. You know, you look at the Camerons, you look at Ted and Josh, you look at the Williams. They were all looking for a youth group that they could fit in with. And families will go with their children. So there have been opportunities there for people to get involved, but we were still having to use student ministers to take their Bible study group. In terms of bringing every item to the whole church body every time we have an issue, it just isn't functional. I mean, you've been on council, you know how it works. You don't hear all the machinations of what the council staff are putting through all the time. You get to see a council paper with a report and a recommendation. To go through all that with everyone just builds people's expectations up. Oh, we can put a hall there. And then when you do the maths on it, not maths, you find that, yeah, viably, it's not happening. And the longer we put off the thought of this amalgamation, put off another year, we're running into a brick wall, which is going to be an empty bank account. We've got, 4 years, 5 years? Yeah, and that's the other part. It's not just the people resources, it's the financial resources.
Just to kind of give... thank you, Kate, for your reflections on that. If I could just share kind of what drives me and kind of my DNA for ministry. At St. Luke's Liverpool, I was in charge and oversaw the youth ministry. And so I know how hard it is and how hard our youth leaders worked. We had We were the youth group that actually drew, unfortunately, from churches like ours, because churches like ours couldn't set up their own youth. So we would be a regional youth centre, really. And sometimes we had about 50 youth coming, and we needed leaders equipped, trained, and there was a continual conveyor belt that was built, and it was set into the DNA of St. Luke's Liverpool, that as you become Christian, you learn to serve and you get equipped. And some people might not become the youth leaders, but some people did. And through that, that's how we were able to grow. And part of what I've been all about is recruiting other people, training them up. Do myself out of a job is my mantra. So that I don't need to do it, but that other people can do it and I can keep equipping saints everywhere. And that's what I've been doing for that 6 years. Since moving here, it hasn't been the fact that people aren't willing. That's the problem here. One of the loveliest things at our church is the fact that there are people, the most unlikely people on the AV desk each week. I'm so, so grateful for that. I boast about that to other churches. They go, wow, we can't get these teenagers learning IT stuff. And you've got our people doing it. So I'm very, very thankful. But in terms of having a youth ministry, and that's what we need next, isn't it? Our kids are all growing up. Next year, they will need a youth group. We can't even figure out our kids' church right now. At the start of last year, I was desperate to split it. We need K to 2, 3 to 6. We can't have K to 6. It doesn't work. We'll make it work if we have to. But if there are any other options, let's think about that. But we couldn't even do that. A youth group is a different beast. It requires leaders who are not rostered, but in the team, week in, week out, loving the youth, calling up them up, loving the parents, preparing programs, running games, making them feel welcome. I think that is a tall order for our church at the moment. And I think our NTE team demonstrated what you can do when you have younger, willing volunteers who love Jesus. They got stuck into things, right? That kids' club was amazing if you were there helping out with that. We had 27 kids there with barely much advertising, really. It was all really word of mouth. Two-thirds of those kids aren't connected to a church. It was so good. But we needed 9 leaders to run that, because that's how much it takes. That's true. And if you're teaching scripture, that's what you do. Yeah. Because youth group is a different beast. Firstly, the teaching style is different, isn't it? It's not a teacher-student relationship. Yeah. It's a youth leader to youth. Oh, sorry, we're talking about kids right now. It's a kids leader to kids. If you want to run it like a school, you could. Well, first of all, our safe ministry guidelines wouldn't even allow that, because our ratios need to be, with kids, I think it's 1 to 4. With young kids, 1 to 6 for the older kids. And so you've got to... Yeah.
It's not even that.
Yes, thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
It's 1 to 10, 3 to 6.
Yeah. And what we're dealing with is not professionally trained people, but volunteers. That's part of the issue here. And not volunteers who are running a program, but are called to love these children. And that means contact outside of the program. It's not a matter of parachuting an NTE team here to run something. That has very little lasting fruit. But you need youth that these children grow up looking at and going, they love Jesus, I want to be like them. I want to see what struggles they're going through. I'm going to go through them as well. I better ask the questions I can't ask my parents, the questions I can't ask the older people in my congregation. I love them, but these ones are the ones who are here sticking with me at church. And that's part of the reason why we can't parachute people in. Some of you have mentioned that it'd be good if we could just get willing servants to come in and run something each Sunday of the month, but actually that's not a church. We're running programs. We're in the business of loving people, and that requires a youth group, youth leaders who are committed, trained, equipped, and that takes a lot of work. And at this moment, as I've seen, it's not because we're unwilling, But many of us are older. Many of us have health issues. Some of you are willing, very thankful for you. But at this moment, I don't believe our church can run a youth group, let alone thinking about running a youth group for the people coming in. Could we run a youth group for 3,000 people in Menangle? Maybe, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about running a youth group for 100,000 people in this area.
So yes, certainly right. Youth ministry is one of the many issues that we're faced with. Colin and I became part of this church about 16 years ago, and one of the things that has always concerned me is the difficulty of having a youth program. And some wonderful families that have left this church because their kids reached the age where we couldn't cater for them. And it's been delightful to meet some of those kids later as they've grown up, and some of those families have been able to come back. But that is a very real issue. And if we can provide youth activities at the kind of level that youth are used to, that's a win-win to me.
Yeah. Got Bill? Is it? Oh.
I just feel to say, this is the first time I've been here. I'm down at Gilbulla as a volunteer. I've been down there for about 7 years doing the gardens. But this one day, the Lord has led me up here. Thanks be to the government transport system. So I rode my bike up, and I rode up the hill. Yeah, we see things in that we can't do or we're physically not capable of doing, but yet oftentimes we don't rely on God. That ministry down there, they're confronted with the development going around them as well. They've got an industrial area that's going to be encroaching on their grounds. It's going to be changing the dynamic of it physically. And yet, just hearing about the youth ministry here, they get youth going down there, doing discipleship courses. And that's to minister to them, to bring them into a place when they can minister as healed bodies of Christ. And that's what they do. They minister spiritually to the young ones as they come in there. So I just feel in a way, if you could possibly reach out to them, that the head bloke out of this called Paul Ryan, and his children have been to Broughton as well. Maybe you can link in with them and support one another, because I see this ministry over there and I see this ministry here, and this is a light on a hill, and this is a great church, you know, and we've got that area all around there, and it's just the potential. And it's, to me, I've been to a Baptist church. I got saved at a big church in the city, Frank Houston's church, Brian Houston's dad's church, back in the 90s, and I can see that God's not interested in the denominational thing. So we can step outside of that, out of that box, to incorporate people as coming into Christ's body. You know, it's just wars going up there. So as far as the kids are concerned, if you could possibly reach out to Paul Ryan, I don't want to speak for him, but maybe you can approach him and say, look, we're in need of children or kids or youth to be able to look after the kids in this area. I'm sure they do that, you know, because it's all about growing the kingdom, growing the area, bringing those into Christ, as we have a heart for. And this building here, I see that there's potential here. I know God supplies all our needs according to his riches and glory. I see this out there, and you think, land, well, what's wrong with going down? I know it costs a lot of money, but if God can see the people out there, he's going to bring the resources in. It's just for us to step out in faith. Like, I think my own testimony, and the emotion, what God has done in my life. I'd love to share my testimony with these people out here, what God can do for them. Because I'm a walking dead person, basically. I had a heart attack 2 weeks ago and I'm on a push bike. I've got prostate cancer and I'm on a push bike. I've got other things I'll share with you one day. I should be dead. But it's got to be going. You know, because it's about faith. Our faith, we've got to be challenged. And all the while we're challenged, we raise up in faith. Okay, God, we've got to trust you. So bless you all.
Amen. I think it is exactly walking out in faith that would lead us to better do this proposal. Because it's going to be really hard and we're going to sacrifice a lot. But we can walk out in faith, knowing that, okay, we don't get to determine what we do as a church by ourselves anymore. But given what God's told us, what he's entrusted to us, we can do something big with Campbelltown for the lives of the people who are moving in. It looks fuzzy right now. We've got an MOU, and really that doesn't tell us the, you know, what Sunday to Sunday looks like. There'll be lots of change. I mean, there'll be change either way, won't there? Whether we vote yes or no. But we have to trust God that he will build his kingdom. Just got to figure out how we are to be part of that. Any other questions or comments? Well, Peter and I are happy to hang around for a little bit after here if you want to chat to us personally. But how about I close this meeting, and as you've seen, and I'll send out this in an email. So a special general meeting, Sunday the 16th of February, 12 p.m. here in 4 weeks' time, and we'll announce it at the following services as well. The Lord needs to build his house. Otherwise, the builders build in vain. And so how about we hand this over to God right now? Lord, you see all the challenges that we're facing and the fears that we're feeling. And thank you in the midst of all this that you are our unchanging, faithful God. Please help us to see this decision through your eyes, putting the gospel first. Use us, whether it's with Campbelltown or not, to reach the thousands and thousands of people moving into our area who don't know you, who don't know the love that we know, so that Jesus might be known and glorified in this region. We pray this in his name. Amen. Thank you, everyone.